All right. Say one more time hello.
Hello.
Working? All right. Can you say God Inc.?
God Inc.
Addendum.
Addendum.
That's my boy.
Yeah, I figured you'd be pretty proud. I can see the look on your face.
You know,
that's a proud dad moment.
Whenever you see the creation of God, and he, you know, it's wild when you look at your son, and I hope you know this soon, but when you look at the son that God has created and you've been a part of that,
yeah,
and you just see him walking around, it's just magnificent.
It's crazy. I know I'm watching from the sidelines. You know, I see how much he's grown over the years.
Yeah, he's two now. Uncle.
Yeah.
He loves you, man.
Yeah,
he loves you.
Great kid, man.
And on that, you know, whenever you create something, you know, we're talking about Mav, but when you're creating something like this podcast, right, you hope that it's a blessing to others.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that you put into it.
That's true. I would say, too, that, I mean, we've watched it grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's only been around for 10 short episodes, and we've really been actively working on God Inc. for about a year.
Less than a year?
Well, we batted around the concept for a few.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
But where we're recording right now, ironically, is where we began the first steps. And
I don't know if we've ever told that story. Maybe it's important for us to tell our listeners what happened.
And for our listeners, if you've heard this, you can skip by it. But anyway, yeah, we're both pastors in the Michigan Conference. I don't think that's a secret.
And we have, there was a time that we got invited up to Campus Abel to do teen camp.
Yeah.
And it was Pastor Ken that approached us and
PK,
said, hey, PK,
dubbed.
Yeah. And asked us to come and speak to the teens.
Yeah.
And when we got here, we realized something. You know, as good friends, we love talking with each other. Mm-hmm. And usually the practice is to have, you know, things set up in such a way where you speak and I speak. You know, one pastor takes a night and then the other takes the other.
Yeah, this was a new brainchild for Pastor Ken. He wanted duo pastors to come that hadn't been done before. And I'd done camp pastoring here at Asabel prior.
Yeah, and I've done that too.
Just me, and so have you. But this was the first time that he was like, hey, why don't you come up here and do it together? And he kind of just gave us free rein. And so opening night, we discussed, hey, let's do this first one together, and then we'll divvy it out. You do one, and I'll do one, and we'll do that. And then we did the first.
That was the start of something special.
Yeah, we figured out that doing things in tandem was not only entertaining for us, but it was really meaningful for people because we talk like this, and having you as the third person in the conversation has really been special.
So from there, when we did a full week, and the teens really enjoyed it, and we were challenged, actually. I think, I don't remember exactly how it worked out, but we had asked the question, and there were some ideas circulating around among our listeners at the teen camp, and the request was for us to start a podcast, and we're like, hey, give us names, and if you're serious about names, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah,
and we got over 100 submissions of names for the podcast, and then God Inc. stood out, and that's how we got started.
And it was, I know, if you're watching, great, if you're listening, but in this very room is where we went over those index cards.
Exactly.
And anonymously, we to this day don't know who it was, and if it was you, let us know.
Yeah, we would love to give you credit
but
that suggestion.
The name God Inc. was on an index card. And we looked at each other and said, if we do something with this, that sounds right.
And the rest is history.
The rest is an ongoing project.
Yeah, yeah. So we finished our first season, which, I mean, that was a big milestone, I would say.
Yeah.
It was just ideas that we had in our minds and obviously, we do like studying. I'm sure our listeners might have identified that by now, and some have shared that with me in person in some of our conversations. But now we've come to this place where we are sort of in a transition, you know, between seasons. Mm-hmm. This is the end. This is the final discussion with regard to episode season one, and then we move the discussion to season two, which we're going to be approaching the church in the wilderness there. But what are some things that you've learned along the way?
So before we get there, I just wanted to mention that, like, so the addendum is kind of a hybrid. We're gonna debrief season one.
Yeah.
With you and talk about the highlights that we have. And
then we're going to cover some things we didn't really get to include in season one.
Exactly. So I don't know how long this conversation is going to be.
I think we need to keep the time.
Probably. We'll see. But anyway, yeah, this is good. And then it's funny because as we're recording this, we have episodes in the bank for season two
already,
and they're scheduled out. Wish we could share them with you right now, but we can't. We can't right now.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that. I'm not giving you permission to share that yet.
Can't hit that. So anyway, yeah. So season one, Jermaine, what were the highlights?
Well, I'm waiting for you to answer that question because I think I asked first. Yeah, that was a good deflection, but I'm not allowing you to do that.
Yeah, you did. Surprisingly, I really enjoyed the episode about the plagues. We didn't cover them in a ton of detail because there's multiple plagues, and that's a big chunk of the Book of Exodus, right?
Yeah. That was Battle of the Gods.
Battle of the Gods, lowercase g, right?
Yeah.
But that episode, especially that intro, was a highlight for me because it not only showed Egypt what they were up against, but the children of Israel were watching this happen from the safety of Goshen, and they were not harmed. And that's an incredible thing. And right now, with what's going on in the world and the uncertainty that we find, I think it's really easy to fear as we see the man-made plagues that fall all around us. But God is there.
Yeah, in the midst of the chaotic situation, he was still there as the protector.
Yeah.
There's something that I had thought, and I know we did not get to discuss it, but I wonder what it might have been like if you were an Israelite with an Egyptian friend that you've been pleading with to accept the very God who is now about to deliver you guys. Now, we know that some left with the Israelites being part of the mixed multitude, but I wonder how difficult that might have been if you had a home where it would be the safest place to be because the blood of the Lamb covered that home, but an Egyptian friend might not have taken you up on that offer to stay with you that night.
Yeah.
You know, those are some of the nuances, and the Bible doesn't describe those situations per se, but it does allow us to kind of peer into another side where we know the mixed multitude was along with the Israelites, so they might have been protected somehow. So that's that's an interesting thought that kind of crossed my mind, and I wondered about that, but it's just something to stew on, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, if slavery then was anything, and I know it was very different, but if it was anything like slavery that haunts the history of this country that we're recording in right now, there were some, and I really hesitate saying this, but there were some masters and slave owners that were better than others. And there were some that were easier, I think, on their slaves than others. And there's even some instances, for instance, Ulysses Grant was given a slave as a wedding gift, and he was a staunch abolitionist, and he immediately let that slave go, right? So you wonder if there were any relationships like that, like you just mentioned in Egypt, where, you know, a master was like, hey, we're gonna take it easy on you and offer mercy. What did that feel like?
Yeah, and again, those are the nuances, right? And it's an interesting thought because, yeah, that is true in history where you do have people who are on the other side of history that supported the cause. Yeah. You know, I think there was a pastor that stood beside and actually lost his life during the civil rights movement. I think his name was Pastor James Reeb. That was the name.
You're correct.
Who eventually got killed because of his stance during the civil rights. And so there are people that, you know, quote unquote, who were not a part of the struggle that chose to be a part in order to make a difference, you know, for those who were suffering. And you think of James Reeb, but then I think biblically speaking, Hebrews talks about this, or the Apostle Paul mentions that Moses forsook, you know, the pleasures of a sin in Egypt and chose to suffer with the people of God. So you have those examples, and Moses being the premier example of this. And I wonder too, and I know we kind of talked about this a little bit in the sense that that level of distrust, knowing that Moses did not come from the same background, mm-hmm. even though he had similar trials, right? Mm-hmm. Because as a kid, you know, as a child growing up, he was, his life was sought after. We'll just talk about in one of our episodes there, When Babies Cry. Mm-hmm. But you kind of wonder if there was a time when the children of Israel started thinking, wait, whose side are you actually on?
Yep.
And yeah, going back to another episode where we talked about the Uncle Tom idea.
That was a good episode.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, that was a tough episode. If you haven't noticed, Jermaine and I talk about things such as, you know, with Moses and Uncle Tom, that was a touchy episode. And then later, when a nation commits suicide, it was along the same vein.
Yeah, yeah, that was also touchy.
You know, what happens when a society has such dark skeletons in the closet? How can God bless that?
Yeah.
And how can people escape that? And, you know, the Bible says that if my people humble themselves and pray,
then I'll hear from.
Yeah. Heal their nation. Yeah. Right. And then the question is, at least for patriotic people like myself, are we past the point of no return for that? And then, of course, our understanding of prophecy, but that's a different episode for a different time. You know, we've been talking about the Passover a little bit, and this is a little foreshadowing into next season, but I love that during the Passover here, while God is instructing them about, you know, don't break the bones of the lamb. And
the lamb had to be perfect.
That lamb had to be perfect, which is, of course, richly symbolic. And he just gives all that stuff.
So wait, so you mentioned the Passover. So let's go back to that.
Yeah,
exact,
so Exodus 12 is where that starts. Text. And
yeah. Can you read that for us? Yeah.
Verse 1, you can see it. Just for some context, it says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house. And it continues from there. So this Passover is changing literally the calendar of Israel. So not only am I taking you out of this place, but this is New Year's.
What's amazing about that picture, and for someone who's never heard the word Passover, right? Let's say they're not Jewish, and maybe they're not
just a brand new word.
Maybe they're brand new to the Bible. The idea of Passover is, I mean, it's exactly as the word sounds, passing over, right? The wrath of God was visiting Egypt that night. The firstborn was going to die of every household.
The last plague.
The last plague, the cattle, everything. And then the angel of death was passing over Egypt. Was visiting Egypt, but the blood of the lamb that was sprinkled on the door indicated to that angel that this was a house that was safe. You know, it's the image of the ark in Noah's situation when the judgment of God was placed on the world. Except now the ark was not a ship, a boat. The ark was now their home, where the blood of the lamb was sprinkled over the doorpost. And what's interesting about that is what it points to, in that Jesus himself, and we're going to talk about this hopefully a bit more, became our Passover.
Yeah.
In that his spilt blood gave us the opportunity to escape the wrath of God, which was what was being poured out on Egypt. And we can also see the same picture that shows up in Revelation later.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb, which was slain from the foundation of the earth.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, right? When you think of that moment when John the Baptist sees Jesus for the first time, the perfect Lamb of God.
Yeah.
And in John 1, verse 29, he proclaims, and I don't imagine him saying that silently in a whispered tone. It's loud and for everyone to hear, behold, like, look, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world.
Yep.
So that Lamb, even though that Lamb was the means of the protection of Israel, you have to consider that the fact that that Lamb had to die in order for its blood to be, sprinkled over the doorpost. So that's a powerful illustration of what the cross would be. And we talked about this in the season as well, where you see a lot of imagery that points to what was to come.
Yeah. And the whole reason I went to the Passover, and this is, I mentioned a minute ago, this is the foreshadowing of next season.
Yeah.
In the instruction of the Passover, which you've eloquently covered, it says this, and this is the first time we see it in the biblical text. And you shall keep it, this is verse 6, you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole, notice, assembly of the congregation of Israel.
There you go.
Shall kill their lambs at twilight. This is the first time.
Congregation is.
That we find the term congregation in application to the children of Israel, which is significant.
That is very significant, because the next time we see it is after the Red Sea crossing the Red Sea.
Correct. From here on out, we see that God is building something, and I don't want to give up too much of our
season two.
But I just think it's important here that God is saying the first thing that you're going to do as a congregation is come face to face with how I deal with death and how we escape.
How we escape death.
That we all deserve and that rebellion causes. This is what happens when you harden your heart, and there has been months of mercy that has been offered and it has been ignored. And so now justice is coming, and this is how we find justice. It's either suffer the wrath or
let the lamb cover you.
Let the lamb have the wrath.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful, and like you mentioned, you know, in Gethsemane, not to jump too much ahead, but in Gethsemane there, when Jesus says, you know, if there's any other cup, let it pass. If there's any other way, just let me get past this. And of course he knows that that's not the case, but it's humanity's crying out. And, you know, the Son of God, when he takes that cup there in the Garden of Gethsemane, is drinking the wrath of God that we deserve.
Mm.
And, that's such a powerful concept. And that wrath and that guilt from our sin was so great that it was, I'm sure you've heard this before, but it was killing him in Gethsemane himself.
If he was not strengthened, he would have died.
Yeah, and I have a theory about that, and we don't have time to get into that. But yeah, you mentioned right there. We often look at that angel that comes and strengthens Jesus as an angel of mercy, but he's prolonging the agony of Jesus here, if you really think about it.
Mm.
So yeah, that angel is giving Jesus strength, but strength for what? Well, strength to be tortured.
Yeah.
Strength to go through the most unbearable thing that any creature or any being has ever gone through. And that's what we deserve.
Mm. One thing that you said too that I thought was fascinating was the idea that the lamb changed the calendar.
Yeah.
And
I love the way you put that.
You made me think of the fact that Jesus also changed the calendar.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We go from BC, you know. That's before Christ and then after Christ,
it's,
you know, depending on how we look at that.
I've seen some things going around about that. Like, Jesus didn't exist. Okay, well, how do we measure time?
Yeah.
It's all about the death and resurrection of Jesus. Anyway, good.
I mean, it's centered on that all notion. History. But again, the lamb changed the calendar.
The lamb did. Yes,
in real time.
That's right.
So that's a powerful thing. The thought I have, too, going back to some of the discussions that we had, and I know this one was a difficult one to work through, was the killing of the babies, the genocide.
The one that Pharaoh caused. Yeah.
And the way that that worked out, now, again, we don't know exactly how long that took place.
No.
But we do know that there are many children that were at risk at the time, and that to our listeners now, that was a very difficult episode to work through.
Oh, sure.
Because you can't imagine the agony of a parent in a situation like that.
Yeah, that narration was tough to record as a new father. I mean, I can't imagine seeing your son for the first time and then, that's it.
You got to part ways.
Yeah, that would be really tough.
Yeah, man, that's difficult. And then one of the questions that I thought about asking you too is, what were some of the responses you've had from listeners from each episode or from any episode if you've come across anybody?
I can't remember the instance, but I think there was one person that disagreed with one of our takes, which was fine.
Oh, I'm interested. Go ahead.
I can't remember what it was.
Oh, you can't? Oh.
I just remember there was disagreement. It wasn't anything that, it was like, you know, and we'll see this in the next season too. There's some ideas that we throw out at each other about these stories that aren't necessarily a thus saith the Lord, right? But we're thinking about these things critically. So there's room for disagreement on some things if it's not the text. So that was good. That was appreciated. I've had quite a few young people talk to me about how this helps spark their devotional life and how to have a conversation about the Bible with their friends. It doesn't have to be, So backing up, you and I understand the formality of church, and there's a time and place for formality, right? And having to be polished and those things. And yeah, like I said, time and place. But when you're talking about the Bible with your friends, it's okay to just relax and open the text and think. And in order to think, you're going to risk being wrong. And in order to think, you risk some other things too, but it's good to bounce ideas off of each other. And so I think there's some young people that appreciated that vulnerability that it takes to think critically about texts that we have heard for a very long time.
Mm. And maybe it's important for us to, there on that point, to describe our process a little bit.
Mm, okay.
Because I think for our listeners, and obviously we understand that people will disagree with some of our positions that we take. And the more we do this, the more we'll have that.
It shows your thinking, just, too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we want. I mean, our goal is for our listeners to go back to the text and say, hey, I did not realize this. Or, oh, I might have studied that, but let me look at that to be sure. That's what he was saying.
That's success in our book.
And that's success, yeah, for us. Because, again, we love studying the Bible, but we don't ever, and I don't know if you've ever, I mean, I don't think we've ever made that conclusion that we know everything we need to know. In fact, we state, like Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that to him who thinks he knows nothing as he ought to know.
Yeah.
That's always our position.
And that's really the measure of wisdom. The more that you learn, the more you recognize the nuances and the more you recognize how much you don't know. The only thing that we do know is a clear thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. And when we see those in the text, we agree with those.
That's right.
But the text often leaves room for things.
Yeah.
It doesn't fill in all the blanks.
Yeah.
And so asking a question about those blanks, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, it leaves room for inquiry and
absolutely.
Praying it through and trying to figure out other sources and seeing what we can learn. So, again, going to our process, one of the things that we do, if you were in the studio right now looking at our desk as we're talking this through, you will see that there are no notes in front of us. We have our computers open.
We do.
We have our Bibles on our table here. And what we do leading up to each episode, we spend a lot of time talking and studying and trying to unpack some of the nuances. And we look at the texts, the section of scripture that we're studying with new eyes each time, because we slow ourselves down.
Yeah.
And we don't make any assumptions. We want the text to speak for itself. And so as we're reading, even though we're pastors and we've gone over this and perhaps we've preached sections from this, we don't rely on the old sermon notes. We're looking at this again and we're like, wait a minute, did I miss something? Mm-hmm. And you'll identify this in one of our episodes of season 2, where we actually found something that we didn't realize before. And it raises some questions, you know, the nuances there. So when we identify those nuances, we come to the place where we're like, yeah, we got to talk about this. And sometimes it's a phone call late at night. Hey, Garrett, did you see this? Like, there are times where
that happens.
On a Friday, we're like, hey, Matt, dude, did I look at this? Am I looking at this wrong or crazy? And then we flesh it out. And then we begin to compare and contrast, you know. So we look at other portions of scripture and then we can say, okay, how does this support this idea that I'm seeing in this portion of scripture? And then we stretch ourselves beyond that. We start with the Bible, but then we go out to the other sources out there. And personally, Garrett and I, we truly appreciate the spirit of prophecy.
Yep, we use that for sure.
Use it for sure. So books like Patriarchs and Prophets, Desire of Ages, things like those. And then we look at some of the other sources, like the commentators,
Jewish
scholars,
histories.
Jewish history. Like in one episode, I think we quoted a Jewish rabbi.
Yeah, for sure.
Because there are insights that you can appreciate from different authors.
Yeah, and looking at historical evidences as well, like Josephus and things like that. We've mentioned Herodotus a few times too. Then we also try to bring in some modern historical stories that kind of bring it closer to home as well.
Exactly.
And that's a passion of
both. And that's the contrast.
That's the contrast. And then also telling stories from our perspective as well, kind of give a spin on it. But you're right. That's our process. It's the Bible first. We might look at the original language too, just to see where it's at.
That's right.
And look at those different translations. But looking to see with new eyes, like you said, without any assumptions, as best as we can, what the text is saying. And sometimes that's hard.
That is hard. And I was going to say, with going based on what you said, that's hard. And I think part of the reason why it's hard is that we're fallible human beings.
Of course, we have bias.
And we're still learning. You know, there are times when we listen back to an episode and we're like, I don't know if that might have been the right way to say it.
Yeah.
And we're different in some ways.
Quite.
I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And so it took us quite a while to finish even one episode. And so if someone is like, well, you probably should have put more into that. I think it's important for our listeners to recognize how much actually goes into what we do. I mean, we go over this stuff many, many times before it even goes out to the listener.
Yeah, we do. And also I think it's important to recognize that, like, we're not like trying to write a dissertation here. Like we said at the beginning, we're trying to foster a discussion.
That's right.
And kind of give an example of how friends can study the Bible together and have fun with it.
That's right.
And walk away with meaningful lessons for life. The Bible is just an incredible book. And
it is.
And it's just unexhaustible.
And yeah, these are the conversations we have on a normal day-to-day basis when we do talk. And so our listeners are getting an opportunity to listen in on our conversation.
Yeah,
that's essentially what it is.
It's pretty much what it is. Is there anything else in the text that we didn't get to go over that you want to bring out? There's one more thing I have, but
yeah, sure, go ahead.
Anyway, so jumping back a little bit, I'm still at the Passover, right?
Yeah.
This is intense. This is Exodus 12, 32. This is right after that last plague has fallen, and Moses goes before Pharaoh. I wonder what that looked like. That must have been difficult for Moses, to represent God here. It's also hard to explain, you know, verse 29 of Exodus 12, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. That's tough. But there's something here that I hadn't noticed before, and we didn't have time to go into it. Verse 32, Pharaoh basically tells them to get out, which is what they've been asking. And notice what it says here in verse 32. I'm reading ESV. Pharaoh says, "Take your flocks, your herds, as you have said, and be gone." Notice this part. "And bless me also." So there's a hint of some acknowledgement there. I don't want to say repentance, but in saying bless me also, it's acknowledging that Moses and Aaron have the power to curse and to bless. And that comes from the one that just rained those plagues down. So that if it is any twinge of repentance, it's short-lived because Pharaoh has some clarity, at least in his mind, after he's recognized that he's given away his biggest asset and he comes chasing after them. But for a moment, Pharaoh says, I need your blessing and go. I think that's deep.
Yeah, that is interesting. I didn't think about it that way. That's very interesting.
Yeah. And then it's sad. I mean, I think the Egyptians were all, I mean, verse 33, it says the Egyptians were urgent with the people and they said, go out of here in haste, for we shall all be dead.
Yeah. I mean, they were, devastated at this point.
Yeah. You want gold? Take it. You want money? Take it. Just please go, because we don't want to die.
One of the other things that I thought about going through the episodes that we did in season one that we didn't get to touch in these verses here was the what I call Pharaoh's compromise.
Okay.
And I don't know if you saw that. There are a few verses here where you have an exchange between Moses and Pharaoh, where Pharaoh tells Moses, you can go. I think the first compromise that he made with Moses was, well, you can go into the wilderness, but don't go too far.
Yeah, and just take the guys.
And then the second was, go, take the guys, but leave the women and children.
Right.
And then the third compromise was, you may go, but leave your livestock.
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting that here you have a situation where God's command is very direct and it's complete, but Pharaoh is trying to make the command, he's trying to make it more reasonable in the sense of, you can go to worship God, but still be attached to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
you know, sort of it's that in-between place. And it's interesting to me that he would make such a compromise, because then his willingness only goes so far.
Yeah, he's trying to divide the growing congregation.
Yeah, and what that would mean was for, you know, the children of Israel. Let's say, for example, they took the first compromise.
Sure, just sent the guys.
Don't go too far. Well, that would mean then eventually they would have to come back to Egypt.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
And then the others would be the same. And so sometimes, and this is the thought I had from reading that, was God required a clean break,
mm-hmm.
right? But the society of Egypt did not want that.
Well, of course not. Tyranny never wants that. It gives up power that they have, right?
Or yeah.
We have.
Tyranny is only willing to give up some power, but not all power.
Yeah, absolutely. And only power that they can regain back quickly, usually. And on that point, you know, so if he had sent them out to celebrate God alone, right? Just send the men, or just don't go too far. That's another interesting thing about the Passover. The Passover cannot be celebrated alone.
Family.
It has to include everybody. Everybody's included in the house. You cannot celebrate this as a solitary individual. So God is trying to bring the people together. And of course, the enemy through Pharaoh is trying to keep them divided, which I think is a huge lesson.
Which it's interesting that you say that, because we can see Pharaoh's compromise in other places, mm-hmm. you know, like couples who do this to each other, like, hey, you can go to church, but don't bring the kids.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying? So I think there's something behind this that is more sinister, and this is the point I was going to make, that the devil is always looking to compromise when it comes to keeping God's commandments fully.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have to examine how we're looking at these things. You know, like, am I actually going out there completely? Am I looking for a complete break from the world that I'm used to in pursuit of God, right? Or am I looking to make compromises in order to keep God, but yet keep what I'm leaving behind still attached mm-hmm. somehow? And I think the devil is an expert at that. Mm-hmm. He does that in families. He does that in relationships, right? I mean, you have situations where guys are telling girls, yeah, I mean, you can go to church, but don't take it too seriously.
Right. You know? Don't let it interfere yeah, with what's really important.
Exactly. And parents telling kids, yeah, I mean, you can serve Jesus, but after you go to college and finish that degree. So make sure you focus on your education first. And I think all these compromises leads to not detachment, but a deeper attachment to the very thing that's preventing you from worshiping God fully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I'm sure, and I'm speaking for you here a minute, but you're not down on education. Education's important.
No, I'm not at all.
It's great.
No, I'm not.
Just like many of those things, like your job.
I'm not down on families. I'm not down on relationships. Yeah.
Important, but where's the priority at?
Exactly.
And if you don't have God as your priority, you're at huge risk of losing all those things anyway.
The best relationships to have is the relationship that is willing to go with you when God calls.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, and this is the ultimate point I'm making here, is when God calls, he calls the whole family.
Yeah.
Right? When God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, it was Abraham and Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just Abraham, right? And so you have a consistent, you know, thread there where the call always includes the family, mm-hmm. even though Pharaoh is trying to separate the families.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And the call includes your resources, even though Pharaoh is trying to separate the resources too. So we have to be very mindful of that. You know, some people feel like God calls, you know, their bodies, but not their wallets.
Mm. Yeah, or their wallets, but not their time. It's easy to write a check for some people, but to go but and not do something time. For someone else.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm good.
Exactly.
We all have those places that we like to compromise when we know that there's some self-sacrifice that needs to happen on our part.
Exactly.
And Moses is a good example of finally submitting to the fact that, well, he's got to leave Egypt, but not just leave Egypt, but then come back to Egypt when he feels less equipped. And we covered that very well in this season.
Yeah. So going back to, there's a question I asked you, and I think it's only fair that I respond
to
the same question.
I tried asking it back, but
I think I might have missed it in the thread of discussion here.
It's okay.
But I had an experience this past camp meeting. I ran into a good friend of ours.
So this is being recorded in 25, so.
Yeah, 2025. Yeah. One of our listeners, and man, top-notch person,
mm-hmm.
very solid.
Mm-hmm.
And this person always is always excited about each episode that comes out.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And I ran into her and we had this very interesting conversation. And the conversation was, she's like, man, you guys made me rethink a lot of things. And you've made me see myself in a way that I did not before. Mm. And it was fascinating. She's like, now my heart is open to more people. My heart is open to serving more broadly and to noticing others in the room that I didn't notice prior.
That's an interesting statement.
And then the way that she phrased it was, I realized that even though I was living like a Christian, I was thinking like an Egyptian. Mm. That blew me away. I asked her to unpack it, and that's when she gave me those gems.
Paying attention to those in the room that are overlooked.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And that's the journey that God, she feels like God is calling her to. Now she is very, very intentional about the friendship she forms. Mm. And man, I tell you, that really made an impact on me.
Yeah, that makes it all worth it, doesn't it?
Exactly.
And there may be somebody listening here that you might not even be from the United States. You might be from somewhere else. And
yeah, we have listeners from all over the world at this point.
Maybe English isn't your first language and you're trying to piece this thing together. First of all, I apologize for my English that is not always proper, at least in the way that I put it together. But anyway, maybe we'll never hear from you. Maybe you'll never leave us a review or send us an email. That's not your style. That's fine. That's not what we're in it for. But if this is touching your heart, like this is what it's all about for us.
Yeah, that's what we do. At.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I and mean, we do enjoy, like we enjoy talking with each other, but at the end of the day, our hope and our goal in life is to be completely used by God. Like mm-hmm. I know you think the same. I don't want to reserve anything.
Yeah.
You know, I want God to use everything that I have, right? My talents, my gifts, my time, mm-hmm. my resources, because there's no better way to live for me.
Yeah, no, this is where it's at. And doing this podcast is, and we touched on it at the beginning, but you and I are very busy. We, ministry.
Yeah, we're full-time pastors.
Yeah, full-time pastors. You just took a district change.
I do. I did.
Shout out to KZU people.
Yeah, I moved, for our listeners, I moved from East Lansing, the University Church. Great folks, man. Just
I know that hurt you.
Salt of the earth. Yeah, that was difficult. That was a difficult decision. And then moved to the Kalamazoo Church here in Michigan. And yeah, great church too. They've been very loving and kind.
Sure.
And it's just, it's an exciting chapter, but obviously there are mixed feelings. And you know, we sold our house that we finished literally the day we sold it. We never got to live in it finished one day at all.
Yeah, and we recorded in that house.
In that house, yeah.
Yeah, good times. But yeah, like, so the point is, like, we have things going on in our lives that are taking our bandwidth. And this is another one of those things that takes more of it, even more. But yeah. I don't know about you, but it kind of helps me recharge and helps me remember why it is that we do this. It gets me excited about the Word of God and how God truly does change messy stories.
Oh, man. Ours included.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Ours included. Yeah, I never thought, and here's the other thing I would say. I'm the only Adventist in my family, right? Mm-hmm. Seventh-day Adventist. Now, you know, for our listeners who are not Adventist, you know, that's where we come from, and we believe that there are good, wonderful reasons to be an Adventist in the modern day.
100%, we don't hide that.
But I remember calling my sister, and this is very, very close to home for me. Mm. I remember calling my sister, and she's probably going to be listening to this, but I have to give her a shout out. And we were talking over the phone, and I told her, hey, I have a podcast. You should check it out. And I mentioned it to her. I'm going to tell you her name, Onika. Mm-hmm. Just man, awesome. So I mentioned it to her, and she tuned into the thing and binge listened, because mm-hmm. We didn't have any videos for season one. She binge listened to all the episodes, and I mean, the message that she sent me afterwards was so touching.
Oh,
like
that's it, great.
Like I mean, meeting someone whose life was changed by this thing, you know, that was special.
Mm-hmm.
But getting a message from your sister,
yeah, that's where
that
it's
was
at.
Life changing.
Yeah, that's where
you
it's
know,
at.
And so Man, I felt a world of encouragement from my sister who listened to the podcast, and she is a huge fan of it.
Hey, praise the Lord.
And that's just a huge blessing. So if no one else listened and it was only her, that would be, yeah, that makes my day, makes my month, my year.
Yeah.
And the other person I would say is, I mean, and it would be the same for you. Our wives listen as well.
Yeah. if we on the same line, if we took some time to thank all of the people that have not only been spiritual mentors for us, but all the people that have supported this podcast early on, we would be here a very long time.
Very long time.
We mentioned Pastor Ken Mitchiff. That was a big deal in the starting of this.
We mentioned the teens.
Yeah, we mentioned the teens, but I mean, we could mention
so many
more. Our wives, you just mentioned, of course, that's a big one. We could mention, you know, Michigan Conference leadership.
And, yeah.
Communication department. I mean,
by the way, on that, man, I really believe that we're in a very, very good conference.
Yeah.
God is very good to us.
Yeah. Shout out to the Michigan Conference. That's, and I'm just going to say this, this is an amazing place to work. And
it is.
They took me on as a young pastor that didn't know much, didn't know really what he was doing, and invested. And that's one reason that I'm still here, is because that investment that they put into me, that just means the world to me.
Yeah, yeah. It's not very often that you get pulled aside by your conference president and gets a tap on the shoulder, say, hey, I'm really grateful you're here.
Yeah, and we get that.
Yeah.
And, you know, our youth director here, youth directors, I should say, plural, but, yeah. You know, Chad Bernard.
Oh, Chad Bernard, huge, you got to give Chad Bernard
huge proponent
a huge shout
of this.
Out, yeah.
The people over there at Great Lakes Adventist Academy, Jeff Ackenberger, and Delwin Garcia. I mean, we're going to be there next year.
That's right.
We're excited for that.
That's going to be fun, our God Inc. live event. And, yeah, I mean, I think maybe we could close out by saying, let's talk about our listeners and how much we've grown.
Okay, why don't you take the lead on that?
Sure. So since we launched back in December, we have about, we'll give a shout out to all of our listeners wherever they are. Mm-hmm. We have about 2,400 listeners now.
Yeah,
which is awesome. I had a trip over to Malaysia, and
yeah, it's cool,
man,
to see the map explode.
Great people. So they are now tuning in. So shout out to our friends over in Malaysia. We have listeners in England. Listeners in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
We have listeners.
Hi to my family in Kenya.
Yeah, all over the states. Cities, including Detroit, Kalamazoo, Lansing, East Lansing, Grand Rapids, which is
Detroit
where you hail
from. Detroit represents in the listening.
Detroit, man. Detroit is leading, actually,
yeah,
right now. And then we have listeners in the USSR.
I know that.
Isn't that crazy?
So so we can't, like, track you or anything, but... when you listen to a podcast, it shows up like where, based on your IP address, I think that's how that works. But anyway, so we can look at a map and see where our listeners are. And to see a blip in the USSR is...
That was wild.
If you're listening, man, hey, we're praying for you. or miss.
yeah, but anyway, overall, I would say I'm very grateful, man, for how God has blessed us with all these wonderful resources. Mm. You know, if you think back to the Middle Ages, a time when it was illegal to read the Bible.
Yeah.
And now you have it in abundance, you know, like we have our Bibles, hard copies open here. We have our laptops, open as well. And there are so many resources that are compiled. I know we use Logos pretty well, quite a bit. And yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, mentioned earlier, the Spirit of Prophecy, there's so many resources that could help anybody who wants to study the Bible. I don't think there's any justification for spiritual ignorance in our modern day.
Nope.
There are no justifiable reasons to
at least
be
not in the
spiritually
States.
Ignorant. Yeah, at least not in the States. You know, I mean, certain places it's more difficult. But yeah, where we are, man, we should definitely take our spirituality seriously. So again, thank you to our listeners. I know the addendum that we have promised is sort of long delayed, I should say.
Yeah, and you know, we just wanted to give you a little update. New episodes are coming, and if you haven't checked the social media or anything like that, September 1st is the first one.
Yeah, and, for season two.
Those are banked, and you're going to be getting video
this time
on
around
YouTube with those for most of them. And on many of those episodes, you'll be getting an extra voice, and that's going to be fun.
That's going to be fun. Well, as usual, I'm Jermaine.
I'm Garrett.
Thank you for tuning in to God Inc.